You go in, the table is set with a gourmet meal. Your children are there waiting at the table with a white shirt and tie. And then you eat, and they eat with perfect, impeccable table manners. They don't speak unless spoken to. And when the dinner is done, they jump off their chair and politely beg you, "Father, may we please do the dishes instead of watching TV?" Yeah, you know, it don't happen like that. But we are under the myth that once we come to Christ, everything pans out. That our wife loves us, our husband loves us, everybody loves us, everything will go fine. That's not the way it is.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. You know, the Bible tells story after story of great men and women of God who had to endure tremendous hardship. Well, there are some who will run the race with great victory and triumph. Others have to drag themselves limping across the finish line. But Pastor Wayne says, either way, the important thing is that they finish. Here he is with a message entitled, Walking with a Limp.
Happened on October 20th, 1968, when the Olympics were taking place in Mexico. 57 runners ran the marathon in the Olympics. First place came across, second place came across. All of them, 56 out of 57 runners, finished. They gave medals. People began to disperse. The crowd was almost gone, except for a few stragglers. When all of a sudden they noticed coming into the stadium was the lone figure of a runner limping. His legs were bandaged. He was wearing the colors of Tanzania. He limps all the way through the finish line. There's nobody left. They're all gone. The ceremonies are done. And a few stragglers clap for this one who limps across the line. One of them goes down and says, "What happened?" Come to find out that this runner from Tanzania, whose name was John Stephen Akwari, had fallen in the middle of the race and hurt himself so badly he required medical attention. And the medical assistant said, "You can't run." He said, "Then I will limp." And he limped the rest of the way. Came in, of course, hours later. And the spectator said, "Well, why didn't you just get in the ambulance and get a ride back?" He said, "My country did not send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish it. And that I did." He limped. You know, I took a look at that and I thought, you know, there's a lot of God's champions in the Bible that limped in the race. Oh, it'd be nice to take a look at people like David or Abraham and think, oh, they were always just virile and strong, not a care in the world. When you think about it, David, when he was given the promise to be king, all of a sudden Saul began to chase him, to murder him, and he had to run with a limp. Then when he attained to the throne of king, his son Absalom comes against him. He's got a huge coup happening in his family, a mutiny, and then after he pushes his father off the throne, he demoralizes all of his wives. It was Joseph who had to grow up with a group of brothers that hated his guts. And the first chance they got, sold him into slavery, tried to kill him. You think about brutal days like that. That all happened back then. Gideon's family were idol worshipers, and he had to try and serve God in the midst of an idol worshiping family. You take a look even in the New Testament when Paul the Apostle was called to follow Christ. There was given him a thorn in the flesh, and some commentators say it was his eyes that he went blind. In those days, you don't have glasses. Then he had a disease in his eyes. In fact, in some of the letters, you'll see that he has Tychicus write the letter for him. And at the end, he'll say, you'll read some of those. It'll say, "See with what large letters I write these last few words." Because he would finish the greeting or the final closure in his own hands, but he had to write it large because he couldn't see anymore. And he had to run with a limp. Some of God's best. But today I want to talk to you a little bit about one of them, and his name was Jacob. He was one of the patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Jacob had a life that was tough. He had a brother that he and Jacob didn't get along very well. Esau was his name. He runs away from home to just get away from the murdering intent of his brother. There he finds a wife, and there he serves his father-in-law for what he thought was Rachel, but it was a switch, and his father-in-law is some duplicitous deceiver. After that, he's got a weird family, dysfunctional family. Then he comes out with his herds and flocks, meets up with Esau, the one that he had locked horns with. It was in an evening where he gets away to just talk with God, and it's in the mountains that he wrestles with God. We don't know if it was more of a spiritual wrestle, but maybe it's both, a physical and spiritual, because he dislocates his hip. I'm going to read a portion of this, and then you'll finish it off with me. It's at the top of your notes. Let me read it to you. It says this in Genesis 32. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man, and we know it's an angel, wrestled with him until daybreak, so all night. And when he saw that he'd not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was, boop, dislocated while he wrestled with him. And then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. Now, even with a dislocated, limping thigh, Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm hurting, I've got a limp, but I'm not letting God go until your blessings are fulfilled in my life. I can't walk, it hurts, but I'm not letting you go until your blessings are fulfilled in my life. Pretty cool. So then he said, and let's read it at the top of our notes. Go. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. It is now Israel, because you have struggled with both God and men and have, just like John Stephen Akwari, although he came in 57th of 57, he won. And you know what? Today, nobody remembers the guy who came in first. But we all remember decades later the name written in history, John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania, who came in dead last. We all remember his name, but we don't remember the first place guy. See, sometimes those who win don't necessarily come across the line first. Some of God's very best came in with a limp. You see, one of the problems we have in Christendom is we think that as soon as you come to know Christ, then everything is going to go, woo, turn out wonderful. It's going to be your birthday. You won the lottery. You get a raise. You got promoted. You look like a celebrity. Everything is fine. And we get this myth. So when you receive Christ, everybody claps for you here. And then you go home, you think, wow, this is going to be nice. Now God is on my side. See, this is it. I'm excited. You think that the next day you're going to go to work and people will stand as you enter the office and applaud you as you go by. That every idea that you give, they'll go, ooh, ah, what a genius, ooh. You'll get instant raises. Everybody will love you. And then when you go home, your wife will be in a provocative dress with a makeover waiting for you. You go in, the table is set with a gourmet meal. Your children are there waiting at the table with a white shirt and tie. And then you eat, and they eat with perfect, impeccable table manners. They don't speak unless spoken to, one arm on their lap as they eat. And when the dinner is done, they jump off their chair and politely beg you, Father, may we please do the dishes instead of watching TV? Yeah, you know, it don't happen like that. But we are under the myth that once we come to Christ, everything pans out. That our wife loves us, our husband loves us, everybody loves us, everything will go fine. That's not the way it is. No, in fact, even in the early church, the apostles would travel around, and you know what they would do? Let's read the second scripture here, and you'll see what they were doing in the book of Acts. Go. They kept strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of God's champions, listen to this, will teach us that, would you write in number one, victory is most often won under less than ideal conditions. Victory is most often won under less than ideal conditions. 2 Timothy 2 says this, would you read it? Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if everything were ideal? Come to Christ and your wife loves you now, your husband loves you, your kids are well-mannered, you get raises, everything is fine, but that's not the way it goes. Oftentimes, you get nailed in the hip, but we must be champions that say, I will hang on to God until His blessings are fulfilled in my life. Usually when our hip gets dislocated, we bail. But it won't always be under ideal conditions, because sometimes we come to Christ because we're expecting ideal situations. We expect that when we go out, because we're a Christian now, we go out to the H1 and everyone will let us in. Come in. I have a New Hope bumper sticker. They target you if you have one of those things. No, it's not going to be ideal. But at the same time, if you think about it, often athletes will run a race And you'll see that they've got their knee wrapped. Or what you don't know is they've had a muscle worked on because in practice they twisted a muscle or twisted an ankle. And now they're having to win under less than ideal circumstances. But they still must win. They still must run. They don't bail out. They still run. There's going to be times where it'll be less than ideal conditions as a mother, but you keep going. The last minute, say a mother scrambles to get a babysitter, a little frazzled, and she comes and gets a little fender bender on the way to church, but then she's there wiping a tear, but then greeting people as they come in for midweek service. Still things are in upheaval and topsy-turvy. But we run with a limp. God's best can do that. And we must. Because we can't put everything into an ideal place so that we're freed up to serve God. Now, there's going to be times that we'll serve Him with a limp. How many times a young man will have made a mistake in his life, a decision, but yet he comes back after having asked forgiveness from God and he sets up for church and he takes down. And on the inside, and maybe to others, they might see him as a hypocrite. But to heaven, God sees him as forgiven. For the righteous man falls seven times, but rises again. God's best, run with a limp sometimes. It's a season where things are yet to be resolved, but still we run. Just the other service, I met a woman outside and prayed for her. She's one of the servants here at New Hope. And what we didn't know is that she was diagnosed with breast cancer in December. And they did some surgery. She's under radiation, but she smiles and comes and serves. And I think, you know, I bet hardly anybody knows those things. But she does that because she's going to hang on to God. And she says, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Even though my socket is out of joint, I will not let you go until you bless me. Often, some of God's best will run with a limp and they'll win. Even though it's under less than ideal conditions. Happens with you, it happens with me. As a father, you'll find out that there's a financial setback and you can't bail out. You continue following God and you hang on to God and you say, God, I'll not let go until your blessings are fulfilled in my life. You're a mother and you're struggling, but you hang on to God. Some of God's people will need to win with a limp. And as Jacob taught us, you hang on to God until His blessings are fulfilled, even though it's with a limp. We're all going to struggle, every single one of us. But the Bible says if you're going to struggle, make sure that your struggle or your pain has purpose to it. You see, you'll struggle regardless. If you're bad, you're going to struggle, the consequences. You're good, you're going to struggle. What? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Let's read this next verse together out of 1 Peter 4. Go. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. If anyone suffers as a what? In other words, Christians will suffer. John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you're slothful and lazy, you're going to suffer. If you're a couch potato, you're going to suffer. You're going to have problems physically. You're going to have problems mentally. You're going to lose jobs. You're going to go from job to job. You'll get lower pay. And then you're going to have people problems. You're going to have people conflicts, personality conflicts. You'll have struggles with your boss. You'll have struggles with coworkers. Then you'll blame God and other people, and it'll all go again, second verse, same as the first when that happens. You're going to struggle if there's an impoverished mentality and there's sin in your life or rebellion. You say, okay, well, I'm going to be good, then I won't suffer. If you're good, you're going to suffer as well. You say, really? That's right. Take a look at a great conditioned athlete that wants to be the best he can. He's going to suffer out on the track. He's going to suffer with twisted ankles, pulled muscles, fatigue. His energy is going to be depleted. A concert pianist that wants to be the best, and say it's a young prodigy. He's only 12 years old. He's playing scales, but he looks out, his friends are playing baseball or something. Or an Olympic hopeful swimmer that's doing sit-ups when he looks out the window and his friends are going to eat pizza at his neighbor's house. And you're going to suffer a little bit. Yeah. In fact, if you want to be good, you're going to suffer. If you're bad, you suffer. You say, well, what's the difference then? Because you both suffer. No, let me tell you the difference. Huge. When you suffer because of error, because of slothfulness, it's useless and it steals your future. But when you suffer because of godliness and you want to be the best for God, you will suffer, but that suffering has purpose to it. It's going to be used to build your future, not steal your future. Same kind of pain. One steals, the other builds. Pretty important. In fact, would you write it down in your bullet there? Struggles have purpose when it is for our godliness. Let's read 1 Corinthians 9. Go. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Please listen very carefully. You're going to suffer a measure of pain in your life as a champion, as a disciple, as a servant of Christ. But if it's because of error or sin, that suffering is going to be used against you to steal your future. On the other hand, if it's for godliness and your desire is to serve God and honor Him, you'll still suffer pain, but God's going to turn that into pure gold. How's that happen? Let's say, men, you're with some guys, and they want to just go out and drinking and do this and go to the bars, and God is saying to you, it's time you get home and be with your wife and kids. And you say to your friends, hey, listen, I was in church, and God just really spoke to my heart to be at home more with my family. And they will mock you. They'll laugh at you. And when you're driving away, because you want to honor God and stay faithful, you're going to carry with you a measure of pain and embarrassment because of what you are going to look like in front of your friends. You're not seen in that shining light anymore as one of our buddies. You've been ostracized. You've been excommunicated. You're going to carry a bit of pain. But I want you to know, if you do, that pain is pure gold. Don't you dare throw that away. That's what God will use to build your future. Let's say you're a young lady and you forego a relationship with this real good-looking guy that if you were his girlfriend, you'd look good in front of all your girls, all your friends. Wow, this is my boyfriend. But because of his pushiness to get you in bed with him and you want to honor God with your morals, you say no and say, I'm going to break this off. And he said, well, good. Then if you don't want to go to bed with me, then get out of here. Now you go home and you carry with you a measure of pain. Because you think, man, that would have been nice if we were together and it'd be just wonderful and I'd look good. But now because you had to break this off, you carry a measure of pain. Listen, sisters, that pain is not bad. It is pure gold. That is gold. That's why the Bible says if you suffer for the sake of righteousness, rejoice. That's what God's going to use to build your future. And one day you'll turn around and God has brought you a wonderful family and a wonderful relationship. And you'll turn around and you say, I'm so glad for the pain of choosing to honor Christ and carry my own cross. That stuff is gold. Never think that all pains are treated alike. This one's gold. This one will kill you. And so you walk with pain for a while, a season of pain. Your heart's not going to heal overnight. You're going to walk with a season of pain. But watch this. Don't let go of God. Even though you're limping, don't let go of God until His blessings are fulfilled in your life. You hang on because the devil's going to stick you in the side and say, now, what kind of faith do you have? And how many people at that moment bail out of their faith, bail out of their family, bail out of their devotion, bail out of their ministry, bail out of their calling? Don't you dare. You hang on to God and you walk with a limp for a while. They teach you that in marathon running. When I was running a lot of marathons, they said, you know, Wayne, sometimes you're going to get a side pain. Now you can either stop and wait till it goes away or you can keep running and it'll go away. Same. Goes away in about 5 minutes. So you can either stop and wait for 5 minutes or you can keep running and run along with that pain and just bring it on as a friend. Say, come on with me, side pain. We're just going to run for a while. And then this is what the coach told me. He said, now, if you stopped and wait for the side pain to subside, that'll be 5 minutes and you'd be probably a mile behind. But if you kept running, you would be nearly a mile ahead and that pain will go away at the same time. But if you keep going with it, even though you're running with a little bit of side pain, you'll be a mile ahead. If you stop and bail out, you'll be a mile behind. And that's going to happen a lot in your life, he said. And so if you learn how to run with pain, then you'll be far, far ahead. And there's going to be times you're going to be in pain. You're going to have to make some decisions in your life about relationships, about foregoing some money that if you would have deceived or just kind of withheld the truth. And most of the lies in society today are not overt lies. They just withhold the truth and they use semantics with words. So legally they're covered, but the perception is absolute deception. And so you say, no, I'm not going to do that. And then you forego some profit and you're going to have to carry some pain with you for a while. You're going to have to run with a limp. But I tell you, that is pure gold to God. And so you run with a limp, sister, for a while until your heart heals. Now, finally heals right here. Bang. You see this here? This is called walking by faith and not by feelings. And you hang on to God. You see this here? That's pure gold. A season that you ran with a limp and you finished well. You know what God calls you? A winner. That's what champions are made out of. And the suffering that comes for God has great purpose. Yeah, but Wayne, what if it just gets harder and harder? What if you want to cut the line? You've done everything you can. The arrows are still flying. You want to bail. You can't go forward anymore. The limp has turned to a lame. The clock has run out. And the race must surely be over. What do you do? Would you write down, when it seems impossible, stay steady. When it seems impossible. And I know there's going to be times when you're going to have to cut the line. But especially when it comes to important things like your faith, your family, your marriage, your calling. Don't be so quick. Stay steady. Stay steady. Let's read what Ephesians chapter 6 says. Would you read it with me? Go. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand firm. Say it again. Stand. Even if after you have the whole armor of God on, you still have to what? Stand firm. When you followed everything God's asked you to follow, you must still... When you think it's time to bail out, cut the line, and throw in the towel, God says what? Stand firm. And you just outlast the devil. You hang on to God, and you stay with him until his blessings are fulfilled in your life. And those are the ones God calls his champions. Those are the ones God calls his best. He did it with all of the saints of old, and he's still with us today. He won't let you go. You might walk with a limp. You'll finish the race with a limp, but you will finish the line, the race. You'll come over the line. Some time ago, a friend of mine had me fish in this river on the mainland, and it was in February, so it was cold. We actually had to break ice to get the drift boat in, and we were going for a fish called steelhead. Now, steelhead is like a big, tough salmon that's good eating, but they really fight. And we put our lures in. Now, on the side of the banks are roots and clumps of grass and rocks, so it's easy to get them snagged. So you got to watch where you put your lure in, And so I got one right by this clump of grass, and I pulled, and it just, I snagged the thing. So I tried to pull it off any way I could. You can't get in the water. It's too cold. So you just kind of try and pull it from all different angles. Still nothing. And I pull it straight. Still nothing. So I thought, oh, no, snag. Thing was just solid. So I reached out, just ready to take my knife and cut the line, when the biggest steelhead you've ever seen jumps out of the river, and guess what it had in its mouth? My lure. You see, underneath the thing was so big, I thought it was snagged, but instead, I had caught the biggest babucha monster you'd ever seen in your life. So it was just bulldogging me, holding on underneath. And I was just about ready to cut my line, and I just always remember that. And I think, you know what? There's going to be times you tie into something and you think it's time to cut your line when the blessings of God are just around the corner. Stand steady, having done all. Just stand steady. Sometimes the biggest lesson of all is you just got to outlast the devil's wiles, the devil's temptation. You just stand still.
You have just heard a message entitled Walking with a Limp by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.